We've been speaking to you in the last Sunday or two on the church, the body of Christ. We want to continue to talk about that and what the Bible has to say. There's a lot of confusion sometimes with regards to religions and churches. And we just want to quote a few scriptures that we've already read. We're not going to go through those again, but Ephesians chapter 4:4 tells us that there is one body, and that's the body of Christ, the church. There's one Spirit, and that we were all called, and there's one hope for each and every one of us, and there's one Lord and one faith and one baptism. So everywhere we look, God's salvation is singular and not plural. There's one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we've already said, when we're saved, that we're all joined together in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, from whom that body, the whole body, joined and knit together by whatever joint supplieth. So each and as we've already mentioned, each and every joint, each and every member has a part in that body, so that like cells in the human body, the blood flow, the oxygen flow goes through the body. We need to allow the Spirit of God to flow through us as individual believers so that the whole body can be strengthened and encouraged. And it doesn't make any difference what part, as we've also read here, every part of the body, whether, and we're going to get to that here in a minute. Ephesians 5:29 says, the Lord Jesus hated not his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord loves the church. And verse 30 of Ephesians chapter 5 says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And that we were, verse Romans 6:4 says, therefore we're buried with him through baptism, and were raised in the likeness of his resurrection, and that also is by the Spirit of God, as we've already mentioned. And then Ephesians chapter 5, we want to go there, and I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to understand, because there are some folks that try to use this passage of Scripture to bring their wives into subjection and beat them and, you know, make them obey them and whatever. And, of course, a wife is supposed to be in subjection to her husband, and he says that. But what he's talking about here is not necessarily husbands and wives, their relationship. We're going to see he is speaking about that and to that and addressing that. But the main thing he's talking about here in Ephesians chapter 5 is our relationship, yours and mine, and our relationship with him as we are in the body of Christ. In verse 5, chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 21, we're going to start reading there. Submitting to one another, that means all members in the body, men, women, husbands, wives, or whatever, we're all to be in submission to one another, realizing and understanding that that's through our submission to God, that God can work through us and reach through us and minister to one another his Spirit. And so he's talking about us ministering to one another in the fear of God. He says, and that we're supposed to do that in the awesomeness and the understanding that to not to do so, we need to have a reverence for God and to do that. Verse 22, the wives are supposed to submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is also the Savior of the body. We know that the husband is not the Savior of the body. Christ is the Savior of the body, and Christ is the head of the church. But the husband in the position of husband is supposed to represent Christ, not only to others, but to his wife, and the wife, of course, is to be in submission to her husband. But here he's primarily talking about Christ as the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. verse 24, so therefore, just as the church, that's all of us as members, are in subjection to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Wives don't have any problem in submission to husbands if their husbands love them properly, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So that's the husband's responsibility. So that he's speaking of the Lord Jesus here, because he's the one that sanctifies and cleanses her with the washing of the water by the word. Verse 27, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ, through his precious blood, has presented us, the body of Christ, the church, her, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. Everybody can say amen to that, amen? We're members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. For this reason, verse 31, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, because marriage, a relation in marriage and a husband and wife on this earth, especially in Christian marriage, they're to represent Christ's relationship to his church and his love for the church. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's speaking here. All of this is primarily concerning Christ and the church, the body of Christ. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Amen? Now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because we're going to start now talking about the body and our responsibilities in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 does that. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to begin reading with verse 12. Now, this is who we are as Christians and as believers. And this is where we are. We're in the body of Christ. And so he's saying the church. And that church is not just the Baptist Church, Methodist Church, Catholic Church, Pentecostal Church, Assembly of God Church, or whatever. That church he's speaking of here is the body of Christ. That is the church. Those that body of his wife, his bride, his church, that is comprised of everyone who's been born again by the Spirit of God. And that new birth comes about because the Holy Spirit takes us when we confess the Lord Jesus as Savior and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, according to Romans 10, 9 and 10. Then the Holy Spirit at that moment or at that time takes you, if you've confessed the Lord Jesus with Christ as your Lord and Savior, and put your faith and trust in him as he is your Lord, and you're not just saying, calling him Lord, Lord, and not doing the things that he says, but you're calling him Lord and trying to be obedient to him. And therein lies the difference. Be obedient. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. And so he's speaking here of you then. If you're as a part of the body, then the body is one. And that's the body of Christ, and it's all over the world to everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it's comprised of all of those who, from the time of the New Testament, have received Jesus Christ as Lord and have been born again by the Spirit of God and is a part of that body. So as the body is one and has many members, He wants us to understand, but all of the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ, that all bound together in one spirit. And the Spirit of Christ is supposed to be working through all of us. Amen? For what by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Everybody say one. You see the emphasis here. One body, one body, one body, one Spirit, one body. Whether we're Jews or Greeks, verse 13, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 14, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. There are many members. Verse 15, if a foot should say, now he's referring to your human body, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? He's trying to show the different functions that we all have as individual members in the body of Christ. Verse 16, if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So all of those, I just want to put this in here, all of those who say, in order for us to be accepted, as far as they're concerned, there's a lot of people and some churches and denominations believe if we're not a member of their church and their body, then we're not members of the body of Christ. And that's not true. Because we're all members of the body of Christ if we've confessed the Lord and we've been placed into the body and baptized for by one Spirit into the body of Christ. And then we all don't have the same function, and we don't necessarily have to be just like the other person. Amen? We're all supposed to love one another. That's one thing we're going to get to, I think, before we get through with this. But that's where we're all supposed to be alike. Now, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now, verse 18, we need to get this, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So when you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, when I confess the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of God, God placed us into the one body of Christ. He gave us gifts, and he put us in the body according to the way he wanted us to be. Amen? Not according to the way we want to be, or the way some church, or religion, or denomination tells us we're supposed to be. It's the way he wants us to be. And we need to understand, and one of the first things that we need to pray for as Christians and as believers is, Lord, you've placed me into the body of Christ, and I am so appreciative. I love you. I thank you that I'm saved. Now, show me what it is that you want me to do in this body. And one of the first things he's going to show you is he wants you to love the members of that body just like you love yourself. Amen? All members of the body of Christ. That's one of the first things. We'll get to that here probably in a minute. Where were we? Verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, that is, if they were all a foot, if they were all a hand, if we as believers had all the same gift, and there were no variations of gifts and operations of the Spirit in the various lives of the believers, then where would the body be? That's one of the problems that we have in the body of Christ today in the church, is that we have some believers that have not matured enough to really understand where they are and what they're supposed to be doing. And then we have other believers, supposedly in the body of Christ, that are trying to tell everybody what to do, and that we need to be just like them, or we're not members of the body. Are you with me? And God is not the author of confusion. Amen? He's not the author of confusion. Where there's confusion, there's the enemy, there's the unclean spirit trying to mess us up and keep us. So verse 19 says, if we were all one member, where would the body be? That's a question mark. And at the end of that. So verse 20 says, but now, indeed, there are many members, but there's one body. And the eye cannot say, verse 21, to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No. Much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. The heart can't see the hand, the stomach can't see the foot, the liver can't see the gizzard. You don't have a gizzard. But you understand what he's talking about here. But we understand the need. Each one of us needs to understand the need. So even those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body, verse 23, which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. That's the private parts of our body. Verse 24, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Verse 25, and the reason he's done that is that there should be no schisms in the body, that there should be no divisiveness, and no being upset with one another because we don't all function the same. But that the main thing is that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If you're running down the street barefooted and you stump your toe and say knock the toenail off, your whole body feels that, right? And that little insignificant part you find out is pretty important because it causes a problem for the rest of the body. It causes pain to go through the whole body. And what God wants us to know is in the body of Christ, we all have that same kind of effect on one another. So we need to make sure that we maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of Christ, and we draw close to Christ, and He's the head, and He's our head, and He's our Lord and our Savior. And we want to do the best to be a part of the body of Christ so that He can work through us to help minister to other people. As I shared last Sunday, my wife came here one Sunday many years ago, and I didn't know she was depressed and downed or frustrated. There's a lot of times we see people that are Christians, something's happened in their lives, something's going on in their lives that has depressed them or frustrated them, and they've kind of lost the joy of their salvation, and they've got in the spirit, and they feel frustrated or hurt or disgusted, or something's going on in their lives, and they don't feel sense the presence of the Lord anymore, or whatever it is that they're going through. There's just a variety, hundreds of thousands of different things that we can go through as individuals that maybe no one really knows we're going through unless the Lord tells somebody, and then maybe He tells us that because He wants us to minister to somebody. And sometimes, and very often, as I'm fixing to tell a story and illustrate this, we may be ministering to somebody, and the Lord may be ministering through us to somebody by His Spirit that we're not even aware that He's ministered through us. Amen? That's a good thing. So when we have the opportunity, we sense something in our body that we need to do this or we need to do that, then we need to understand, if we don't think about it or not, we just need to do it because that's probably what the Lord's wanting to do through us so He can touch somebody. Amen? And so Pat came here, and she was sitting over there on about the fourth or the fifth row in the far side, and I didn't know she was depressed or frustrated or anything. And she said she was just wondering what to do. And she said a lady, one of the ladies in the church, not a pastor, not a minister, but just one of the ladies in the church, come by and touched her on the shoulder because she didn't realize that's what God told her to do. But through that church, through that touch, as she just come by and looked at her and touched her on the shoulder, she was expressing her love and appreciation for her. Amen? And the Spirit of God flowed from her into Pat, and Pat said immediately, all the frustration, all the discussion, or the whatever it was, depression, whatever she was going through, just vanished because some member of the body came by and the Lord used them to reach out and touch somebody, and through that touch, say, I love you. Amen. It doesn't have to be a great thing or a mighty thing. It just has to be something where God leads us to do something or say something that will mean a whole lot to somebody else that we may not even know. As a matter of fact, if we go about trying to be used of the Lord generally, we'll get ourselves in trouble because we're trying to do something that maybe we think He wants us to do, but He hasn't led us to do it. Are you with me? We all need to be. The Bible says, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. But He says also to be sensitive, grieve not or quench not the Spirit either. So we need to be sensitive to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as we go through the days of our life. And what makes us sensitive to that is the fact that we understand that we belong to the Lord wherever we are, whatever we're doing. We belong to the Lord. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He is with us. He loves us. He'll always love us. Amen? And He'll always take care of us. And He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And one of the problems many Christians go through, myself included, I've been through that. And some of my dear pastor friends have been through that. And that is the enemy comes and tries to get us to doubt our salvation. Say, well, you did this or you did that. First of all, he gets us in the flesh and gets us to do something that we shouldn't be doing or shouldn't have done. And then he's the accuser of the brethren. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. Are you with me? He's the accuser of the members of the body of Christ. So where does he accuse you? Right here in your brain, in your spirit. That's where your spirit, that's where the battleground is. Amen? Are y'all with me this morning? That's where the battleground is. And so when you have accusing thoughts, and if you have done something that's wrong, and he's not right in accusing you, but if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, and we need to understand the difference between the Holy Spirit convicting us of something and the enemy trying to condemn us of something. That's another lesson. I don't have time to teach that right now, but you ask the Lord, help me to see the difference between the two. Amen? Are you with me? Because if you're involved in spiritual warfare, you can't win if you don't know the difference between the two. You listening? We can't be victorious if we don't understand the difference in spiritual warfare. And that's the Bible. Reason the Bible tells us to desire the sincere milk of the Word and the meat of the Word so that we can grow thereby. And we grow thereby by applying the Scriptures and the leadership and the direction of the Holy Spirit who is in us. Our bodies are the habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen? Isn't that what He says? And that's what we learn by walking with Him and through Him and by allowing Him to use us to remove our doubts and our fears and our frustrations and our worries, and then also to use us to help somebody else. Isn't that wonderful? That's why you're here. That's why you're still in this body. That's why when God saves us, He doesn't just take us on home, right? Right? He wants to use all of us to reach out and touch somebody in some way or say something. That's a part of the function of the body. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, verse 23, I just want to say that again and emphasize it, There are no members any less honorable than anybody else. We're all the same. It doesn't make any difference what gifts God has given us or where He's placed us in the body. We can be a prophet, we can be a preacher, we can be a teacher, we can be a missionary, but doesn't make any difference as far as God is concerned. He doesn't love the prophet and the preacher and the teacher any more than He loves you as just an individual member working at John Blow's place, because He loves us all the same. But He's placed members in the body of Christ. We need to understand if He's called us to be a pastor, preacher, teacher. We're going to get to that here in a minute. I've got to hurry. Okay, so verse 23, those members of the body we think could be less honorable, we bestow greater honor on those. Okay, the reason we do this, verse 25, if there should be no schisms, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. We need to care for our Christian brothers and sisters. Verse 26, so that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. As I just said, a big toe being hurt, it affects the whole body. All members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Amen? Verse 27, now. Everybody say now. When are you the body of Christ? Now. Right now. You're members of the body of Christ. If you're a Christian, you are the body of Christ, and you are members individually. You're still an individual. You still have your own mind, your own thoughts, and you're still the same person that you were. The only difference between you now is between you before and after is that before you weren't born again and you didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you were not baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. But now after you've made that confession, you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 15 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, any believer be in Christ, male or female, they're a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. So He tells us also that as Christians and as believers, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're to put off Ephesians chapter 3, I think it is, or 4, put off the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and put on the new man which after God has been created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen? That's something we need to do, and we need to learn how to do that, and easy to do. It's just submit to the Lord and say, Lord, You're my Lord. Take over in this area and aspect of my life. I need You. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Verse 28. Now here He's going to tell us some things about various members of the body of Christ. And God has appointed these in the church. So these are the people that God has appointed in the church. Some of them are apostles. First, He says, apostles. He's put the apostles in the church. Second, some of the members are prophets. Thirdly, some members are teachers. After that, some members have the gift of miracles. They can work miracles. After that, then others have gifts of healings. And then some have the gift of helps. They just can be a helper in some way. Help somebody out of a situation. Are you listening to me? All members have not the same function. But we're all members of the same body, the one body in Christ. And we have, God can, I just told the Lord, I said, I don't know whether I'm a pastor or a teacher, an evangelist or whatever I am, but whatever it is, and I told Him this a long time ago when I came to the realization of who I am in Christ, is I want You to use me in whatever way You please, to do whatever You want to minister to those people that come that have needs. Amen? So he's used me to touch people. He's used me to pray with people. He's used me to help people. He's used me to heal people. He's, anyway, the gift of healings. Then there's helps. There's administrations. You got to have somebody in the church and the body of Christ that knows how to administrate. Amen? And that, some people probably wouldn't like to be an administrator, but that maybe God's made you one. Other thing I want to say, and you need to get this. Don't be afraid of what God has called you to do, whatever it is. If he's called you to be someone that can lay hands on somebody and they be healed, or he calls you to be a pastor, an evangelist, a teacher, or whatever, a minister, it is he that gives us the ability to do what he's placed us in, what he has given us in the body, in his body. Amen? He can do anything. And he can use you to do anything if he wants to, if we're willing. One of the worst sins I've ever committed since I've been a Christian is not doing something that God told me to do, and I knew he told me to do it, and I didn't do it because I was fearful, or I was ashamed, or I just thought I was in the wrong place, or I just didn't do what he said. And when I didn't do it and I walked out so that I couldn't do it, then I immediately, the spirit was grieved in me, and I wept bitterly and openly and asked God's forgiveness immediately because I knew I hadn't done what he told me to do. So I'm not perfect. So there are administrators, there's a variety of tongues. They're not just one tongue, there's a variety of tongues. Verse 29, now he's going to ask some questions here, and the answer to each one of these questions in verse 29 is no, a definite no. What are the questions? Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Are you listening? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I'm going to show you a more excellent way, and then the more excellent way is the next chapter of 1 Corinthians, which is chapter 13. Amen? And how many of you know what that chapter is? That's the grace chapter. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels. And I just kind of paraphrase some of it. Though I do this or though that, though I have the gifts of do all of the things or whatever I can do, if I don't have love, it doesn't profit me one thing. There's one other passage of Scripture I want to read to you in closing. Because we're all supposed to love one another. Amen. And you might want to write this down, or you can turn there in your Bible. I want to read this in closing. It's 1 John, the little book of 1 John, right before the book of Revelations in your Bible. The last book in your Bible, 1 John. 1 John, Jude, and Revelations. It's the little book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that those of us that are believers as Christians, For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which He's given unto us. Romans 5:8. And He's not talking about the love that we have. He's talking about the love that God puts in us. The love of God. For love is of God. That God kind of love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Amen. Verse 8, He says, God says, He who does not love does not know God. If you don't love people, then you're not of God. I don't care what church you belong to. For God is love, and love is of God. Verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested, or it was revealed, or it's been made known. Did God reveal or manifest or show, indicate His love towards us? How did He do that? He did that. God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the love of God. God gave up His Son. Watch Jesus be beaten with stripes by the religious men of His generation and His era. Watched as His Son had His beard pulled from His face and had a crown of thorns jammed on His head. As nails pierced His hand and His feet. As they beat Him with stripes until His body was covered with blood. God watched as His Son staggered trying to carry a cross and failed because He was so weak because of the beating of the Roman soldiers that He couldn't even carry it. They had to get some man to help Him carry it to the cross. God watched as His Son took your sins and bore your sins in His body on the cross and died for you. And they didn't kill Him. You say the cross didn't kill Him? No. The last thing He looked at John, because His mother, Mary, was there. Jesus' mother was watching all of this. And Jesus looked down from the cross and all of His pain and His agony, and He knew He was about to die. And He looked down at John and He said, "Look, that's your mother. You take care of her." And He said to His mother, "That's your son. He's going to take care of you." He could have just easily looked down from the cross and looked down to our day and time and said, "That's Rachel DeBerry, that's Lewis Cowan, that's Mark DeBerry, that's this one and that's that one, and I'm doing this for you." And they didn't kill Him. The Bible said, after He'd suffered for 3 hours, and that was a bitter time, probably from 12 o'clock till 3 o'clock, or from 3 to 6. It was in the heat of the day. He hung on the cross between two thieves. And the one was cursing Him and saying, "If you be the Christ, why don't you come down from the cross and save yourself and save us?" And the other one was saying, "Don't you realize who you're talking to? He's the Son of God." And He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Today will you be with me in paradise?" And then the Bible said, He dismissed His spirit. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus was God in the flesh. God gave Himself. Jesus gave Himself. He dismissed His spirit. So if God so loved us, And we're now members of the body of Christ. We ought to also love one another. Amen? Praise God. Let's everybody stand. Let's everybody stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. If anyone needs to come to the altar, if God's spoken to you about coming to the altar, praying for somebody, praying for yourself, making a new commitment, whatever it is, whatever God wants you to do, He may want you to go to somebody and give them a hug or give them a touch or whatever, you do it. Amen? Whatever He tells you to do right now. This is His time. Amen? Father, as we come to the conclusion of this service, we thank You for the honor and the privilege that we have as ministers to be able to minister Your Word and to speak Your Word. And we realize, Lord, that if it wasn't for You, we couldn't do this. We couldn't do this at all. And to You be all the praise and the honor and the glory for what You're doing in all of our lives. That You love us. You care for us. You save us. Your Spirit places us in the body of Christ, Your precious Son. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for sharing abroad Your love in us so that we can love other people and do what You've asked us to do. And we thank You for the gifts of the Spirit that You've given us so that You can, through us, minister. Help us to understand, Lord, as Your children, what it is You want us to do as we go through each day. Sometimes it's just to be still and know You're God. Sometimes it's to do something, whatever it is. Lord, we want to please You. We don't want to just say You're our Lord, but we want You to be our Lord. We need Your directions. We need Your help. We need Your strength. We need Your wisdom. We need Your knowledge in our daily affairs and all of our situations, wherever we are and whatever we do. We need You, Lord. Thank You for being with us, never leaving us nor forsaking us, taking care of us and our family members and our loved ones. Thank You for giving us the privilege of honored prayer. Thank You for hearing and answering our prayers. We've seen so many, Lord, answered prayers. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Heaven, for others, all of us, two or more agree on earth or touching anything we'd ask, it'd be done. Thank You, Father. We have people that agree with us in You and in Christ so that we can have our prayers answered. And ask that we can receive, Your Word tells us, so that Your joy might be full. Amen. You want our joy to be full. Thank You for Your joy. Thank You for Your peace. Thank You for everything, Father. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.